Cloudcast Media.
Welcome to your next mission podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley, proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Good day, veterans and families, and welcome to Your Next Mission, a new program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and your host. We have a very special edition of Your Next Mission podcast because today is June 14th, and we're celebrating the Army's birthday, 246 years old. Oh, man, I'm excited about that. I don't know. I wasn't there at the start, but I'm all pumped up for it. We usually release our Your Next Mission podcast on Tuesday, but since the Army's birthday this year falls on a Monday this year, we're going to be pivoting a little bit and have it on Monday. So all the people can celebrate the Army's birthday with us. And, you know, so don't forget about it. 246 years, celebrate that birthday with us. And we're very excited to celebrate the Army's birthday with two very distinguished guests. And I also have a couple of stories for you. But now before we get started, I just want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission possible. They love our veterans and families, and we love them too. There's no question about that. Today's theme is the Army recruiting. Hoo-ah! And I'm so excited to introduce these two great, I should say great, great, great leaders, Major General Kevin Vereen, Commanding General, Army Recruiting Command, and his Command Sergeant Major, John Foley, the Command Sergeant Major of Army Recruiting Command. Sir, we're so glad to have you on the podcast today, and thank you so much, Sergeant Major.
Major Army, thank you, Tilley. We appreciate it.
Glad
to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you on
the show.
Hey, super. We're excited about this. Well, we're excited to learn about Army Recruiting Command and all you guys are doing. But before we do that, I'd like each one of you just to tell us a little bit about yourself. Sir, to start with you.
Okay, great. I am General Vereen, and I am proud to say that, I'm truly a soldier and I'm Army all the way. I was born at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and my dad was prior military, retired, served quite a bit of years in special operations at Fort Bragg. And so I was born and raised there. And so it's all about Army with me. I'm just excited to be here and being able to wear this uniform and proudly serve as a soldier in the United States Army.
Now you said your dad was special ops. Was he enlisted or
yes.
officer, sir?
He was enlisted.
He trained you well. He trained you well. It's funny about that because, I don't want to talk about it right now, but really the Army changes your life. There's no question about that. That's why it's important for people to listen to what we're going to talk about today. So your dad did good. You ought to pat him on the back every time you see him. Yeah. Sergeant Major, go ahead, buddy.
Hey, so SMA, I'm actually from Panama City, Florida. I was born on Tyndall Air Force Base. So that should give you a little bit of a hint that I'm an Air Force brat.
Go ahead.
Yeah, right? Even on the Army's birthday. And so I'll admit that. And so I have two brothers that actually served in the Air Force as well.
Absolutely.
So, and to this day, I'm the only one in my family that's joined the Army. And so I did at a very early age, at 17 years old, proud to be a member of this Army and everything it stands for. And, I served all over the world, just as you have and many of our Army soldiers and veterans out there. And just really proud to be part of this great team.
God bless you, Sergeant Major, sir. Thank you so much. Today is a special day as we celebrate the Army's birthday. Can you Can you tell us what the Army birthday really means to you and your family, sir? Again, so we're going to start with you every time, sir, so you might as well get ready. Sergeant Major's going to think about those thoughts here a little bit.
Yeah, I got it. He'll fill in.
I got the advantage. I got the home field advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, I think I'm being captured by the non-commissioned officer corps here.
But absolutely.
I'll abide by the rules. Sergeant Major Army, this is great. So first of all, to me, it's a day of reflection. And I say that because, as I said, my father served a career soldier in the United States Army. I do say this is a family business. When I think about my relatives, my uncles and my cousins who have all served. Now, I will admit I had an uncle who served in the Air Force, and I had two that actually served in the Marine Corps. But everybody else in my family served in the Army, and I think about traditions and history over my family's period. It has truly been Army all the way. So Army is a family business for me. It's a day of reflection. I think about my father who joined during right at the onset of the Vietnam War, and really what happened in Vietnam, and then of course the reception and receiving it that our veterans got when they came back from Vietnam. Not necessarily the best story to tell, but it's a story to tell. And I think people need to understand that. And our Army has gone, has transitioned over time. And then the American people, their perceptions of the Army has truly, has moved out in a positive direction. So if it wasn't for them, we would not be here today. And so the last thing, I've got sons who serve. I've got one who currently serves in the Army, and I've got one that's in ROTC that's about to serve. So for me, to think about the Army and what it's done, it's all about service. It's all about looking back and understanding that, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for some great Americans who wore this uniform. And last but not least, when I say it's a family business, my wife, her father served, and she has an uncle that served as well. So it is truly Army all the way when I look at it from my perspective.
I like to hear you talk about it. It's a family, because it's real. I'm real quick before let's talk about measures. Is that I don't care where you are. If you served in the military and you get out of the service and you call somebody 20 years from today that you served with, it's like you talked to him yesterday. And it is a family affair. It's about a very tight-knit group of people that care and depend that care and depend on each other each and every day. And I love that. The other thing I'm going to say, too, is I'm an old Vietnam veteran, too. I was in Vietnam in 67, 68, fighting in the streets of Saigon. And so I know exactly what you're talking about respect and really how the Army has changed over the years as far as education and development and all that other stuff. And it's always going up and forward. Best Army in the world, no question about that. Sergeant Major, how about you, buddy?
Hey, so more of the same, but I'll tell you, so I tipped the hat a little bit and said, hey, I'm from an Air Force family. And so military service in my family is kind of the family business. I chose the route because I seen the light.
And the light bulb come on, I guess.
I seen a light. Yeah, I see the light, right? And my parents and my entire family has been extremely supportive from the start and are still today. And so I always say it's a privilege to serve people. And when we say serve our nation, we're serving our people as well. And we're helping others. And then I'm proud to say that we were an Army before we were a country. Yeah. And so that is, to be a part of a profession and perform an organization that helped form our country into what we are today is really why I think today is a special day for Army's birthday. And then my spouse, she retired in 2010. So a little over 11 years ago. And she served 22 years. So she's been waiting on me this whole time. And I told her, I'm not ready. I'm not going out. And so,
you're going to have to kick me out.
Right. And so we have a military family and Army family. And she supports me and everything. And I support her as she still serves as a DA civilian.
Yeah.
And so that's why this Army thing for us is it's the common language. It's the relationship that you build over a lifetime.
Absolutely.
And the connection you build with people to have that common objective is really help people.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you both talk about family and the importance of family. The other thing I'll tell you about is I always tell people I've been married, I'm an old guy, I've been married 51 years. My spouse is my best friend, but I also tell people she served just like I served. There's no question about that. The military spouses, you know, if you come into service, we take care of our spouses, and then the spouses serve just as hard as we do on in a different way. But I think sometimes their job is a lot tougher than ours, to tell you the truth. We right, get out and right. get a chance to go have fun and do a good job, and they really take care of the stuff that you know, we probably didn't even know what was going on. Real quick point is, I only moved my household goods one time in the military, and that's when I retired. And I, you know, all the time I'd go forward, and my wife would do all that stuff. And, and so I, each and every day, I tell people I can't thank my wife enough. Sir, can you give me a little history of the Army Recruiting Command? What are some of the initiatives that really the recruits are, you know, attract new recruits into the military?
Great questions. I'll start with, you know, we've been at this with the all recruiting for the all volunteer force for almost 50 years. So it really is a profession. And be honest with you, we want the best and brightest.
Absolutely.
To be able to wear this uniform, be proud to be members of our great profession. So for Army Recruiting Command, we recruit for both the regular Army and the Army Reserve. So we talk about, you know, total Army and being really one Army. When you bring all the three different components together, it's really interesting and unique to see all of us working together for one common cause and common end state. And so just the professionalism across the Army has been one that has reaped tremendous benefits for, you know, for our nation and for even our allies. So I am proud to be a part of that. The other piece is, it's all about readiness. So the Army can't be ready without soldiers. Soldiers manning our equipment, soldiers doing the day-to-day requirements that it takes to be able to support an Army. And I would add our civilians, because I think our Department of the Army civilians are all part of this equation when we talk about being ready and manning our Army. So I'm proud to not only talk about the soldiers on this day, our Army's birthday, but I'm also proud to talk about our Department of Armed Civilians that provide so much to our great Army. And then the last thing, it's really about people. You know, people are the centerpiece, and you kind of talked about, you know, the families who are huge into what we do. When we put people in the Army, we want them to know that we're bringing you on as a soldier, but we also, if you're married, we're bringing your family on too. And you're a part of this great organization as we move forward. So it's a team effort. It is a family business. Yeah. It really is. Yeah. So I'll transition real quickly to what some of the things we're doing. Of course, Sergeant Major Army Tilley, you know that, of course, we're recruiting in a pandemic. And we have been doing this for about a little over a year now. It is not what, you know, what we grew up in when you look at legacy recruiting. And so we had to innovate, and we had to be very creative. But I cannot say enough about the partnerships that we already had, you know, in our communities with our veterans, you know, with our Army senior leaders helping us, with our CASAs, our reserve ambassadors, including some of our, you know, influencers out in our communities. I have been huge as we've gone through this whole, you know, tough time of trying to recruit for the all volunteer force. So we've had to innovate, and a lot of that has been kind of leveraging the virtual space. We really have done a lot when we talk about virtual recruiting operations. I'll talk about Army National Hiring Days in a minute, because we're culminating it today on the Army's birthday. But the second part of that is we've had to develop, and we've had to think outside the box. So what we've come up with, as you all know, we've got a great esports team, and we've been able to connect with young men and women in the virtual space. We talk about Generation Z. And a lot of our Generation Zers are in the virtual space. They use social media. They understand technology. And so we had to get there. And so we have been able to do that. And so our esports team, gaming, that's really what it's all about, getting into the gaming world. And so we have soldiers that are recruiters that are part of our gaming, our outreach company. And it's been tremendous for us. The second piece is outdoor. Outdoors is a growing market, and especially it would be growing even more now that we're coming out of a pandemic and people are now starting to go back outdoors. Yeah. So we have an outdoors fishing team, and these are Army soldiers. These are recruiting NCOs that are on our fishing team. And so they're entering into competitions. They're going into our high schools. in the high schools. You know, outdoors is becoming a huge sort of a sport. And we've been able to leverage and we've been able to insert ourselves into that whole arena. And that's been remarkable for us. And then the last thing is fitness. Our fitness company, our part of our outreach unit, fitness. It's all about, you know, being physically fit, eating right, and getting proper sleep. And so all those three entities into how we've been able to evolve and innovate have really paid huge dividends for our Army. And then the last thing, we talked about virtual and social media. As we are about coming to the end point of our Army National Hiring Days in the virtual space, this has been a huge virtual event for us, and we're looking forward to seeing the fruits of our labor as we kind of culminate here on the Army's birthday.
It's really funny you say a lot of those things, because I know when I communicate with my granddaughters and stuff, and I'll call them on the phone, they'll sometimes hardly talk, but if I text them, they're right on it. They got it. So it's about, you know, it's really about how to communicate. The other thing I thought about when you was talking, I thought about a lot of stuff, but one of the things is protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. You know, I take an oath to this country, and that's what people do. I can't tell you enough for the people that are listening here. The Army changes your life. There's no question about that. Hey, Sergeant Major, you know, recruiters have a tough job anyway. So what's the challenges for recruiters now? Yeah, no, there's no, hey, I'm all for it. But everybody's a recruiter, right? Everybody's a recruiter.
Absolutely, everybody is.
Yeah, that's right. But your recruiters have probably different challenges. You tell me a little bit about that.
Right. So, you know, just for context, I recruited in the mid-90s. And so a different era, but, you know, we still have some of the same challenges, you know, traditionally. And so we're talking about basically the lack of awareness opportunities from people. So about 50% of people know little or nothing about the Army and the opportunities it provides.
Absolutely.
Right? And then the other traditional challenge is those people that are qualified to be able to join the Army. So about 29% are qualified for military service. So that means 71% of people do not qualify for various reasons. Most of that is fitness and obesity. There's some other things, but that's most of it. And so when you talk about the traditional challenges there, that has existed for a long period of time. And then some of the other things, we could talk about the disconnection from Army service to the American public. Only about 1% of people serve their country as far as the Army and the military. So we know that, and we also know that the veteran population is steadily declining every year. And so with those challenges. Now, we look at the challenges today. The CG mentioned Generation Z. So we have to know who Generation Z is and what is important to them. And for them, it's really being relatable, being authentic to them, telling our stories, good and bad, sharing those so that they're relatable to them. And once they can kind of see that and make that connection with, especially Army recruiter or a veteran to them, then that kind of draws them a little bit closer to our profession and the opportunities that it could provide them and their family down the road. And so it's easy to say, hey, we need to know Generation Z, but, you know, there's some good studies on it. And they are very, they are in tune. They want to be part of the bigger picture, and they want to make a difference across the nation, across the world. And so that's how much impact that they have. So we can tap into them the right way, but we have to know who they are and how to connect with them. And then some of the things that's going on today with challenges, we know what they are. Obviously, you have a pandemic, you have COVID challenges that makes things extremely difficult for our recruiting NCOs across the globe, because we have them in different countries too, not just here in the U.S. Some of the racial and some of the civil rights issues going on across the nation. And so those are the things that challenge our force. And then often our NCOs, our recruiting NCOs, are the only Army veterans or Army soldiers in their communities. And so they have that challenging mission to be able to talk to people, talk to potential applicants and influencers to tell their story and to educate on opportunities. So this thing about educating and informing people about our service in the Army and what it could provide them and their family. So that's just some of them. So you have the traditional ones, and we have the ones that are ever evolving today in a very dynamic and challenging environment.
Yeah, but I can't remember. I think there's only 3 out of 10 people really qualify for the military service.
Right,
or,
something
like that.
So 29%. Yes, estimate 29%.
It's unbelievable. It's challenging. The other thing I think is interesting is sort of how many we have. The Army is, of course, the biggest service. No question about that. I guess we have just about every MOS all the other services have. Correct.
Right. So we have 150 different career fields. It was a lot more than, earlier. I think when I recruited, it was about 250. And so some of those have been merged because of technology and whatever. But there are 150 different career fields. And with those, all the training and certifications that go along with them, we have over 1,600 different credentials that align with our career fields to what is marketable in the civilian sector. When somebody decides to exit the Army, either end their term service early or retire, they're marketable. And so that all that training is available along with the credentials and certification that go along with it.
Yeah. Hey, sir, do you want to add anything what Sergeant Major said about all those? Because I don't think a lot of people really realize the fact that all the different kinds of career fields that we have in the Army. And I always tell my counterparts in all the other services, I say, yeah, you got a great service. I understand that, but we've got everything you've got. Maybe not as much in some cases, but there's a lot of, what's really interesting, there's a lot of opportunities for people to grow in the military and the Army. So,
I want to caveat, and Sergeant Major hit the nail on the head. We do have, 150, career fields, and that's phenomenal. But I would also put a plug in for our STEM. Science, technology, engineering, and math, absolutely huge in the Army. Most of our young men and women that we're going after probably in high schools and some that maybe have, maybe in college, would probably think, it's the Air Force or the Navy. But our STEM, career fields are absolutely phenomenal. And we need every single, bright young mind in science, technology, engineering, and math. So that we can do not only work for our nation, but as we go in and as we do, partnerships and things with other countries and our allies, it's a huge, huge advantage for those relationships as we continue to grow them. So science, technology, engineering, and math. Hey, the Army is at the cutting edge, and we need every best and brightest, serving in the United States Army.
I think the other really key point, I want to get this real quick before we get out of here, is the education process and what we're really pushing as far as college education development for our young soldiers that come to school. I think years ago, and I could be off, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we really want to focus on at least the first 2 or 3 years or they're in the service, they get a couple of years of college. And when they leave the service, if they stay for 20 or 30 or 36 years like me, but you want them to have a degree, a master's degree. So the education focus is huge.
It's the Army and education. It's not either or. It's amazing what you can do while you're wearing the uniform when it comes to, being a part and participating in the academic environment and leaving the Army, while you're wearing a uniform, getting a paycheck, free college education, and you walk out, with a bachelor's or a master's degree. That is, that's the story to tell. And we've got, hundreds of thousands of examples of young men and women who have joined the military with a high school education and are walking out with a master's degree. And some of them are not through retirement. I mean, they're leaving in some cases, before retirement age.
Yeah, but you're changing lives and making better citizens for our country.
Absolutely.
We're talking with Major General Kevin Vereen and CSM John Foley from the Army's Recruiting Command, and you're listening to Your Next Mission podcast.
Veterans United Home Loans proudly sponsors Your Next Mission and supports our military. They are the number one VA lender for 5 straight years and have earned 4.8 out of 5 stars with nearly 255,000 reviews. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Please visit them at veteransunited.com.
You're listening to Your Next Mission podcast. Your host, Jack Eltill. I love saying that. 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. Sir, I know making a lot of changes in the project inclusion and new grooming standards and the new ad campaigns. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that change is really going to affect recruiting?
Yeah, Yeah. So, so first, I want to say there's nothing more powerful than having real life, diverse personnel, soldiers, non-commissioned officers in your formation.
Absolutely.
There's nothing more real than that.
Yep.
So, so we pride ourselves when it comes to recruiting because we have to be examples of America. And so our non-commissioned officers have to be the same demographics. It has, they have to represent America across all of our demographic groups. And we want to put them in areas where they can thrive and where they resonate with the young men and women based on the disparity of population groups. And so, so that is that to me, that carries the day. When the Sergeant Major talked about authenticity, they want to see real people. They don't want to see it in some cases an ad. They want to see a real person wearing a real uniform talking about their experiences, you know, and so, so that is powerful. Now, diversity. I will be the first to tell you, I think, you know, diversity, we are one of the most diverse.
No question about that. Yeah,
there's in the United States.
Yep.
Are we where we need to be? Probably not. We are we making efforts to improve? Oh, yes, we are. So when you think about some of the things, and I'm going to focus on a diversity piece. I'm going to let the Sergeant Major talk about grooming standards because that's what, you know, that's what NCOs do. They understand the grooming standards and they're going to enforce it. But when we talk about diversity, you know, we're making strides. There's a couple things I want to talk about. First, you know, we want young men and women to feel included, and that's the inclusion piece. So we, when they come into this profession, we want them to feel like they are a valued member of our team, and not excluded. And when we talk about diversity, we talk about gender as well. We want them to feel included. We've opened up all of our, pretty much all of our MOSs, our career fields, and our branches to females, which is huge. And so that's equality. Regardless of who you are, what you look like, where you come from, you are on equal footing with everybody else.
Absolutely.
And so you can perform any skill set, any job that you want in the United States Army. You make that decision on what you want to do. And then the last thing is being valued and having the ability to get promoted and to move up based on the merit, based on your performance, not what you look like and who you are. And all that comes into play. And I think that's where the Army wants to be. That's where we're striving to be. And we're going to get there. And so I'm excited about, you know, where the Army's going with diversity and inclusion, because we need to make sure that that people know when they join this profession, the sky is the limit. The sky is the limit as to how far they can go. And by the way, we have a fit. You are a fit for the United States Army. You can serve in the United States Army. You just got to find out what you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I, when you guys are talking, I don't want to interrupt you because there's so much great information here that you're talking about. But I sort of look back at myself when I came into the Army. The Army changed my life. And diversity part of that, everybody's a soldier. When I look to people, I don't look at anybody as you're a soldier. And I depend on you left or right. You got my back. And that's what I'm looking for. So it's, again, we talked about family. We talked about everything we have there. But we talk about what's important is our country and working together as a team. And it's about building a solid team for our country. And the other thing, I don't know if I should say there's not, when you swear into this country, you say to people, and you're really an extraordinary individual, I protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And what that says to me is I'm willing to die for my country. Absolutely. And that's what you guys do. You bring people in there that are patriots, that love this country and want to do the best they can. And you can see I get pumped up about recruiting, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
SMA, you know, one of the really important things, and you know this, is how we onboard people.
Yeah.
So how we bring them in the Army, how we integrate them right into units is like, it's the most important thing we do. Mm-hmm. We have a doctrinal term for it. It's called sponsorship, right? But really, how do we bring somebody on? How do we integrate them and provide all the opportunities equally across the board, don't matter where you come from. And so when we provide those opportunities and help you get there with those goals, then you can be a valued member of this team. And so it's about diverse backgrounds. It's about the different experiences and cultures that many of our individuals that join the Army are a part of. And so now we look at the on the grooming standards when we talk about all the cultures and experiences that and the backgrounds that our individuals in the Army that have. And so some of the recent changes we made was some of the hair standards with in fact, with grooming, nail polish. A big hit with females is they wear earrings now. They can wear earrings. And so, and we knew that, we know that many of the other services were doing that many years ago. But now our females can wear earrings while in uniform. And so that's some of the change that's gone on with grooming standards. And quite frankly, they're big hits with the population. And so when we talk about this inclusion of different backgrounds and experiences, that's what's important to a lot of our soldiers out there.
I got a million stories. I'm going to share one with you. I remember I was in Freiburg, Germany one time, and I went over there, and there was a black female that had her hair that was a little bit too long. And I says, hey, soldier, you need to get your hair up whatever it was. But then she said something sort of caught my ear. So I sit down and I started talking to her about hair. And you're talking about different cultures. And she explained to me she didn't wash her hair every day, the difference in, I didn't know that. So I'm glad the Army's reaching out and understanding the difference of people and different hairstyles and stuff like that. I think it's a really important thing.
Right. And so even on the medical side now, we talk about the things about hair and ponytails and the buns that our females have typically worn for since the beginning of time, right? Yeah. You know, there's some research that says, hey, that is not healthy for females. So the Army recently made a change to allow females to have ponytails while in uniform.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think that's about maybe 3-4 weeks old. Yeah. And so that's a recent change as well. So it's not just about culture, it's about health as well.
Yep. You know, it's funny. Somebody called me and says, hey, Sergeant Major, did you see that picture with the female hair? I said, what do you think about that? Well, I don't care. I said, why don't you care? Right? I said, well, it's what happened before I went in the Army, what happened after. The Army continues to grow and develop. And if it's right for the Army, it's right for me. And so I'm not going to be one of those guys that criticize. Right. You do what you think is right. If you think that's right, then do it. You know, I love the Army, and I think the Army makes right decisions for all of our people, all the people in the service. So, yeah, you know, it is what it is, but I love it. And if the Army wants to do it, they can do it. We're talking with Major General Kevin Vereen and CSM John Foley from United States Army Recruiting Command. And let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And you're listening to Your Next Mission Podcast.
The Purdue Global Advantage, a name that opens doors, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. For a personalized, innovative, and world-class education, learn more by visiting purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome back. I'm the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Taylor, and we're blessed to be here today with Major General Kevin Vereen and CSM John Foley. If you're not listening, you should be listening, from United States Army Recruiting Command, celebrating the Army's 246th, I can't say that enough because I love it, 246th birthday. But we're at one of my favorite parts of the podcast, and where we get to hear from our veterans. But today we're going to do things just a little bit different, because I always do things different because I like doing things different. I'd like the Major General Vereen and Sergeant Major Foley to tell us what serving in the Army has meant to each one of you. And sir, again, I'm going to start with you each time anyway.
All right. So first of all, SMA, I appreciate the question. You keep mentioning about the Army changed your life. So for me, serving in the Army, you know, thank goodness, my father, we're from the state of North Carolina. And so he grew up in a very, small town and on a tobacco farm, essentially. And, you know, and, his, father and mother, and of course his siblings. And so, thank goodness at the age of 17, he decided to join the United States Army. I mean, it was a change that caused him to move in a different direction. And I can't say enough, if it wasn't for his decision to join the United States Army, I don't know where I would be, because I wouldn't be exposed to the Army. And I'm sure that, you know, that my environment and today, where I am today, probably I wouldn't be here. So thank goodness. That's what the Army means to me. It's a life-changing event. And it causes you to really to achieve things that you probably thought you never could achieve. the second thing for me is, being a role model. And I think the role model piece is important, especially in this role, and not only in this role, but in positions of leadership. Folks look at you, and in some cases, I hope that folks will aspire to be, maybe a general officer or a sergeant major.
Absolutely.
In the Army, performing at the highest levels. And so being a role model and being the example for young men and women to look at us, at least look at me, and say, look, I want to be like him. That's important. Defense of my country. Absolutely right. I understand that wearing a uniform, it's a contact sport. It is all about supporting, defending our country. And that means going to war. And so, if I didn't know that was, part of the environment, then I would have to question, why I serve. So I understand it's about defending my country. So service to my country. And then the last thing I do want to say is the Army has been really my mechanism for creating lifelong friendships. I mean, I got friends that I joined, decades ago. That we still talk and we are the best of friends, and we can only share the experiences that we've had wearing this uniform and being a part of the United States Army. So really, that's what the Army means to me.
Yeah, I'm always going to add something here. Yeah. Have you ever talked about the circle of life? I always talk to people about the
Absolutely.
Circle, 360-degree circle,
full circle.
And that's right. And if you don't step out of that circle. And if you don't step forward in life and keep stepping all the way through, I'm getting to be an old guy, but you got to keep stepping through that circle. And it's about change. It's about improving. Sometimes I remember when I got out of Vietnam and I went back to my hometown and I got back over there and nothing had changed. They were still doing the same things they did 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Nothing changed. They stayed in that circle. And so going in the Army, standing in that circle and taking a step forward in life. And that's what you're doing. You're changing your life forever. And I guarantee you, if you're listening to us talking today, it's about making your life better for the future. Don't think about today. Think about 10 or 20 years from today. Sergeant Major, go ahead, bud.
Well, SMA, so very fast, before we
even... You have to go fast. Take your time.
General Marine has something on his... If you look on his wall, I don't know if you can see it, but there's something on the wall over his left shoulder, right as you're looking at it, right dead center.
I got you. I got you.
So, General Vereen, say something.
Hey, that you want me to tell him what it is?
Yeah, you know what it is? You see what it is, SMA?
I see it. It's got the non-commissioned officer rank or something like that.
Right.
I was gonna say, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
There you go, sir. Yeah.
It's the creed of non-commissioned officer.
Hua.
Right. Yep. And so you know why he has that on there, right?
Yeah. Because he believes in us.
He believes it. So for all the NCOs out there, I call General Vereen our number one fan. He really trusts and empowers our non-commissioned officers to do the hardest job in the Army, which is to lead, train, take care of soldiers and their families every day. And so so that really kind of wraps it all in for me as far as what serving means to me. It really means taking care of people, leading them, training them, taking care of them through tough times and their families, because that's what it really is about. But for me personally, it's about opportunity and growth.
Yeah.
So I've had opportunities that, I know I only look 29 years old. SMA, you agree?
No.
You agree,
I do, right? Absolutely.
You agree?
No.
So General Vereen agrees. And so, but I've been in the Army almost 32 years here in a couple months, and I've had opportunities to do so many things, travel. I spent 15 years overseas in different countries. I've served in Korea. I've served in Germany. I've been to Japan like a whole bunch of times, Guam, Australia, Singapore, all those great places that most Americans probably would never dream of going
to. Oh, you're absolutely right.
So that's a lot of opportunity and just to serve in a lot of those places and to absorb all those cultures that we just talked about with diversity. And then for growth, I mean, General Vereen talked about education. I was one of those knuckleheads that came in at 17 out of high school that resisted college education for a few years. It wasn't until I was selected to go to Sergeant Major's Academy, one of my mentors said, "Hey, Foley, you got any education?" I said, yeah, I have a high school diploma. And he goes, you better get to college. And he held me accountable to it. And I did it, and it didn't cost me a dime. And so that growth, this is one of the many examples of what it means to me and to be able to, just like you said, to make a difference, to improve yourself every day, but more importantly, make your teammates better. And that's one of the hallmarks I really go by, is how do we improve ourselves? How do we be a productive member of the Army, but make our teammates better every day?
Sergeant Major, could you do me a favor? And sir, this is about you. When I was in the Army, every general officer that, or every officer that I ran into that I thought believed and understood the Army creed and fully supported the non-commissioned officers, you know what I did? Is I promoted them. I made them a non-commissioned officer. And I had a plaque, and I did, published the orders and did that. And some, in fact, when I was a division sergeant major, we got ready to change command. Bill Boyce was his name, General Bill Boyce, actually put, he wanted to be a Sergeant E5. And so we made him, I should tell you a story about Sergeant E5, but we made him a Sergeant E5, and we put that rank on there. And let me tell you a story real quick about this. Hopefully it won't be a long time. I came in, and I told all the senior NCOs, I said, well, I'm going to make the general a non-commissioned officer. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, yeah, he's a great guy. He supports us and all that stuff. And so I went in, and I said, sir, I want to make you a non-commissioned officer, honorary non-commissioned officer. And he said, okay, Sergeant Major. I said, what rank do you want to be? He said, I want to be a Sergeant E5. I said, golly, that's a little unusual. I said, you want to be a Sergeant E5? He says, yes. I said, sir, can you tell me why? Because, I thought he wanted to be at least a Sergeant First Class or First Sergeant or something. And I said, can you tell me why? And he said he went to West Point, and he was coming down the steps, and he just made major, I think it was. And his son was there, and he says, son, I said, can you see? I was just promoted to major. And his son said, almost makes me cry when I tell the story. His son says, Dad, that looks real good. He said, but when are you going to get to be a sergeant, right? Now, fast forward, I don't know how many years it was, that same young man was killed by a drunk driver. You see the connection? It's about what that means to you, to be a non-commissioned officer and to be an officer. Just what you said, sir, you're representing our country, and you're representing the people of our country, and it's really a big, big deal. And I tell you what, if you guys are listening out there, hope you are, this is about, it's about a country, it's about God, it's about doing the things that are right for our country each and every day. And we're talking to some guys that want to help you step out of that circle of life. I want all of our listeners to reach out to me and tell us about your transition. Tell us, whatever you want to talk about. Tell us about some topics you'd like me to cover on the podcast, and I'd love to do it. There's no question about that. You can leave me a message at 844-424-1134, and I'll actually call you back. I'll talk to you on the phone, and you may find that interesting. In some cases, I have. That's for sure. Or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off. You're listening to Your Next Mission podcast, and I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army. We're talking with Major General Kevin Vereen, Commanding General, and CSM John Foley, Command Sergeant Major of the United States Army Recruiting Command. Sir, we're heading into the final segments with you, and today I hope you've had just as much fun as I have, just for me asking you questions and stuff. I've had a kick. This has been a lot of fun, but... I'd like to finish up on just a couple notes. I'd like for both of you to tell us how, I'm a veteran. I'm a proud veteran.
Yeah.
Right. How can veterans, retirees, and active duty reserve soldiers, how can we help? How can we help recruiting command?
Okay. So SMA, I'm going to start this time.
Oh, wait a minute. You're going to bump the chain of command. Go ahead.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you've heard, you said it earlier, every soldier is a recruiter, right? And so that's an Army mission. So we have to be out, presenting a positive image in the communities and telling our story and influencing others. We also know that there's a lot of Army veterans out there. And then we estimate about 8 million. And so there's a whole lot more veterans than there are soldiers in the Army. But we do need our veterans, we need our retirees. We need everybody that served that had an experience in the Army to really tell their story. So that's like the first thing. Hey, tell your story. if you have social media accounts, which I recommend, share your story on social media. Find time to visit a local recruiting station. And you can meet with the leadership there at the station level and say, hey, I'm here to help. How can I help you in your community? How can I connect people to the Army? And so, and they can help us do that because, like I said, they have, we have millions out there that can do that for us. And we can engage some of our civic leaders out there too, and some of our community partners, either at the civic level or some of our communities and community colleges and universities as well, is to say, hey, this is what the Army does. Let me educate you and inform some of the things that our people are not really exposed to, so that they know they have opportunities. So that's just some of the things. And so I'll let you finish it up and with some other direct actions.
You're going to have to, after this, you're going to have to counsel him for this. He bumped you out there a little bit. Go ahead. Sir, I'm going to let you go first now. Go ahead, sir.
So we coordinated it. I said, hey, partner, you're going to finish it. So we coordinated that.
No, you got it. It's a team effort. That's right.
Absolutely. So Sergeant Major Tilly, I think that it's important, one, and Sergeant Major hit every point that I would probably say. But I just want to kind of put it in a nutshell. It really takes a community recruit for the United States Army. Absolutely. It really does.
Yeah.
And so we are just part of the equation. But you, if you really want to have the power of recruiting for the all-volunteer force, it's our veterans, it's our community leaders, it's our school administrators, it's our reserve ambassadors, our CASAs. That is absolutely powerful. It's our retirees. And so so it takes a community to recruit, to include our families. I mean, so, you know, our spouses, those who are not, have not worn a uniform, but also have been part of the Army. Absolutely. And so, so it takes a community to recruit for the United States Army. And that should put it in a nutshell, bottom line.
Yeah.
And we need your help.
Yeah. I, you know, for all you veterans that are listening out there, I hope there's some veterans listening out there that, that love our Army just like I love your Army. Listen to what they're saying. They want your help. They want you to reach out to them. And if you can help, help. Because we need the best and the brightest and the talented people that go in the United States Army. Because it's not nobody's Army. It's our Army. It's our Army to make our country better and better. You know, it's about the protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Sir, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed talking to both of you. And hopefully I didn't cut up too much because I love to have fun here. But I just would ask if you each one of you have any final thoughts that you want to share with the audience. And you know, the floor is yours. Sergeant Major, okay if I let the officer, senior, the general go first, or you want to go first this time?
I want to go first.
No, you go can't ahead. Do that. Okay, go ahead. Sir, you're going to let him go
ahead,
first?
Go ahead, Sergeant Major. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what. So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So do you still do one-arm push-ups?
I do. I can.
Do you think you can beat me in one-arm push-ups?
Probably. I haven't been working out here lately. But I usually do. You know, the most I ever did a one-handed push-up was 64 when I was in my prime.
Oh,
I don't think I can beat you. But probably now, and I'm how old are you?
I'm 49.
I'm 72. So I probably could still do 30. Good. I probably could still do 30.
That's pretty darn good.
Well, I walk about 5 miles every day. I'm still in pretty good shape.
That's pretty good. Well, so my final thought is this, SMA. I mean, you don't do any push-ups. We do some leg tucks, though.
No, I ain't doing anything. I'm a wimp.
I'll tell you what. So back a long time ago, when I was in Saudi Arabia, and this is the ambassador, and this is how influential you are, and you won't remember this. You walked in the post office on Escon Village, and I was standing there sending a package. This is back in like 1999, maybe, and I was a staff sergeant, and you said hello to me, and I don't remember the conversation, and I was kind of concerned about being promoted to Sergeant First Class. And I asked you about it. And you said, hey, stick to what you're doing. Keep taking care of people. And it was only maybe a 3-minute conversation. And I wouldn't be here today if we didn't have that conversation, along with some other leaders. And I will tell you, that's very influential. Here's another part. We have an XO that's in the other office here, the XO to the CG. She goes, SMA Tilly's on? And she's a major now, just made Lieutenant Colonel list.
Wow.
And she goes, he gave me my first coin like 20 years ago. And so, So thank you very much, SMA, for having us on. And thank you for helping us tell the story of the United States Army and connecting people to the Army, because we need all the help we can get. And I invite you on my podcast here later on. If we can schedule that, I'd love to have you on there. I think you're a whole lot of fun.
We'd love to do that. I enjoy having fun. And thanks for sharing that story. You know, I tell people all the time, as a non-commissioned officer, I never walked by a soldier I didn't want to help or assist or talk to. And I always thought it was my obligation, I can't find the right word, but my enthusiasm about helping them. I want to help everybody, but you promoted me to do a job, and I want to do the job the best I can. In fact, one other time I had a conference anywhere, people say, hey, don't let people talk. I want you to talk. I want you to tell your story, because I want to help you if I can. Because I love the Army. And one quick story, I seen a young lieutenant one time when I was at Fort Knox. He had his rank on wrong or something. You know how lieutenants are. So I stopped and I corrected him.
Say it ain't so.
Oh, yeah. That's why I corrected him. Got him scored away. 20 years later or so, I think he was a lieutenant colonel or colonel, and he still remembered that. So it's the little things in life that you do. Don't walk by a soldier. Don't talk down to soldiers. Treat everybody with dignity and respect. And they'll give you the same thing. So, you know, God put you on this earth. I tell people this too. God put you on this earth with a backpack. You know, and I tell people when I go to God, hopefully God takes me up there. But when I go to God, I want to say my backpack's empty. I've given all I can give.
Right.
That's
right.
Each and every day. Sir, go ahead.
So, Sergeant Major Army Tilley, thank you. The last thing I'll now close. First of all, our Army is open for business. We are. and we think. We have some young, talented men and women that want to serve, and we want to give them the opportunity that truly deserve to serve, and we're going to give them the opportunity. So we're open for business. The second thing is thank you for your service. To all of our veterans that are listening in as well, thank you for your service. I would not be here if it wasn't for those who have paved the way for me and many of us who wear a uniform today. And so hopefully we are giving you what you think we should be giving you and our country. And then the last thing is happy birthday to the United States Army.
Oh, you got to get that.
You are.
Absolutely.
Fired up.
Yeah. God bless each and every one of you. I tell you what, I each and every day, I'm blessed to have served in the military, and I'm blessed to have you that I call part of my family. And so I appreciate you just allowing me to talk to you today. Thanks to Major General Kevin Vereen and CSM John Foley, and I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army. You're listening to Your Next Mission podcast, and thank you for listening today. And if you didn't get something out of today, you're sick. Something's wrong with you. We need to get you going here a little bit. We need to pump on you a little bit, get you fired up. Please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. Hopefully it's a good review. I don't want nothing bad in there, but if you want to live a bad one, go ahead. You can also visit our partners there who can provide you with so many services that will assist you from that transition from the military. And you can also visit our corporate partners and see all the jobs they have available for you. So if you're thinking about, you went through recruiting, you're getting out the other end, we want to try to help you. Please know we want to assist you in any way we can, either going into the service or getting out of the service. That's my goal in life. You know, God put me on this earth. That's what I tell everybody. It's about helping our country and helping our fellow service members and anybody else that I can help. Please follow us on social media channels. You know, Facebook, Twitter. I've never heard of that before, but now I know about Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And also, we have this is really important. We also have a veterans hiring event coming up in Huntsville on the 11th of August at the Von Braun Center for Space and Missile Defense Command Symposium. Please visit us at Huntsville2021.yournextmission.org for more information. Thanks again to Major General Kevin Vereen and CSM John Foley for being with us today. It was simply a great pleasure. I can't even spit that out here real quick. It was a great pleasure to have you on the podcast. And don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org.
If you need a firm to fight for your brand the way they fight for your next mission, it's time to call on the Cavalry. They help brands dominate, no matter their size, ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Please visit them at cavalryagency.com.
I want to end each podcast because, you know, I love to talk to everybody. And each podcast, a little story about myself. And so this, since it's recruited, I'm going to tell you a little recruiting story. And I absolutely was not the best kid in the world. In fact, I was a terrible kid. I spent about 9 months in reform school as a young man. And I remember I got out of reform school and went back and my mother and father got a divorce. It was probably a little bit of my fault, too. And my mother lived in a duplex. You know, there was just one bedroom duplex. And for the last 2.5 years in my life, I lived in a laundry room at home, life and home, okay? And I lived in a laundry room. And I remember I had 3 shelves I put my clothes on. I didn't have a lot of clothes and stuff. And I had a single bed that sort of fit in that laundry room. Now, some people are thinking, you're pulling my leg. No, I'm not. I lived in a laundry room. And I remember picking my feet up, closing the door, and it would go right to the edge of my feet. And I had a little cord. I'd turn the light on and a little vent. If you ever been in a little laundry room, a little vent I'd look out. And so I went to school and I did the best I could. And I probably tell you the truth, I probably wasn't the best student in the world. And I remember when I graduated from school, I was sitting on the Columbia River and I was sitting down there and somebody asked me, says, what are you going to do with your life? I want you to listen to this real carefully. He said, what are you going to do with your life? I says, well, I don't know. He said, you're going to go to college. Now, this is terrible, I should tell you, but I'm going to tell you. I said, guys like me don't go to college. Low self-esteem, nothing's going right. I was in that circle of life. I wasn't moving out. I wasn't going nowhere. And the next person says, do you want to join the Army? And I said, my entire thought process, sure, why not? Let's go. And I went basic AIT jump school. So I tell you that story only because the Army changed my life. It made me who I am today. And my wife. Don't forget about that. But my Army changed my life in such a way that I could never pay anybody back. And that's why you have podcasts, and that's why I want to help people, and that's why I want to do all these things. So, you know, it's a big deal to me for recruiting command. It's a big deal to have the kind of people in our Army that love our country and want to do the best things. I want to ask the audience to do one more thing for me, and you guys may want to do this too. On this year's birthday, I'm going to celebrate my birthday. I want our colors to be shown a little bit this year. So on June 14th, I want every veteran, I want you to pass the word around, every veteran to show their hat. Show their U.S. Army hat. Be proud of who you are. Be proud of serving our great country. And let people know that you served. Because we've got a great Army. We've got a great recruiting command. You've heard it already. You've got a great recruiting command. So don't forget about that. Be proud of who you are. Be proud of what you've done. And don't stop. Keep stepping out of that circle each and every day of your life. Again, thanks for listening to our podcast. And thanks to Cloudcast Media, of course, our 3 presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do for our military. So I guess this is the end of the program, so I'll see you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.
Cloudcast Media.